Have a seat. It is so great to see you guys, and I really mean that. I love seeing you guys. It's exciting to see you here. Glad you're here. What a beautiful day it was today, and feels like spring, doesn't it? And so that's exciting, and exciting to continue to meet more new families tonight. I'm glad you're with us, and again, isn't that great? I love it. And so we just want you to feel welcome. You know, again, at the rate we're growing, guys, you know, there's new people every week. So be sure, look for people you don't know. Go up and say hi to them. Again, remember what it's like when you're the new kid on the block. And, you know, I moved a lot growing up, and I was always the new kid. And it's nice when somebody would come up and say, hey, my name is whatever, and, you know, get the conversation started. And so when you see somebody, hey, I don't know that face, walk up and say hi and love on them and welcome them. And exciting. Also, I want to say this. For those of you now that have, you know, again, our kind of this little growth spurt began about 6 months ago, some of you now are eligible for kids ministry. Now, what I'm saying is, with the kind of growth we have, we obviously have needs in the kids ministry. And when I say needs, you have the privilege to be able to serve there. If you've been here for at least 6 months, pray about it. You know, again, I'm not trying to put pressure on you, but if you feel that, you know, where am I going to serve? How can I serve? We really need more kids ministry. We're trying to fill up our Sunday night with a full kids ministry roster. I know that Abby, our ministry, kids ministry director, she would love to have more people to fill in different areas. So as it continues to grow, when you hit that mark or whatever, just pray about it. See what God's not going to call everybody to do that, but he'll put it in your heart if he wants you to do it. For those of you that are coming from other Calvary chapels, and I'll probably say this again on Sunday, if you're coming from another, what we do is we have people wait 6 months so you get to know who we are. Calvary Chapel is pretty different than your typical denomination in the South, and we know that. Not biblically. We stand on the same word that all the others do. That's not it, but the way we operate is different. So we want you to have time to know who we are, how we operate, and this kind of thing before you get plugged in. But if you come from another Calvary Chapel, it's only 3 months if you get a letter from your home church. You're at your home church, you left, they send you a letter, hey, you know, we vouch for these guys, they're coming there and they're the real deal, whatever. Then you're in 3 months, you're good to go. So if you've been here for 3 months and you're from another Calvary, get your letter, and then you're ready to go in kids ministry. So that's just, you know, I'm just saying. Anyway, but it just, you know, again, I just wanted to use that as a kind of a fun excuse to say, welcome, we're glad you're here and excited to have you guys. Some announcements for you. We are, if you know anybody that needs a king-size mattress, it's brand new. It's only 2 days old. I guess it's called a puffy mattress. They sell them online. I know nothing about them. But it's a puffy mattress. Call the office. We have somebody that is donating one to the church. If anybody needs a king-size mattress, and I don't know what a puffy mattress is, you might want to look it up before you get it. Or, you know, if you do want it, because you might just realize that you're going to be, you know, donating it as well. So I don't know. But either way, so just, you know, all seriousness aside, call the church office if you have any questions. Also, we have our marriage small group this Friday at 6:30 here at the church. Again, this is cool because child care is provided, and the kids will be having a pajama party. If anybody of the adults want to go, be sure and wear your pajamas. I'm just kidding. This is only for the kids, pajama party for the kids. Contact Will West at the church office for more info. Also, we have a prayer for the lost night coming up. That is Tuesday, March 9th at 6 p.m. It's time to worship and pray for the unsaved. And so, again, more than ever, we need to be praying people into the kingdom. And so this is led up by Liel Kirk. And so just call the church office if you have any questions or details. But that's this Tuesday, March 9th, 6 p.m. Also, Street Hope donations. We're collecting feminine products, laundry detergent pads, and paper towels for the Street Hope Girls Safe Home. All right, that's what, if you wanted to wonder what our needs are or what their needs are to bring in, that's what we're collecting. Drop off the items at the table in the hall, and we're kind of a distribution for them to get that over to them. So that's a blessing. I know some of you have already started dropping stuff off, and that's a huge blessing. Also, we have the Calvary Kids. If you're, again, I mentioned that already, I did that on my own here, but again, just I'm reading my notes here, again, for needing people in kids ministry. I've already done that one enough, so I won't push it again on you. Carpool, we do have a lady needing a ride. Heather Riddle just moved to Knoxville. She needs a ride Sunday morning, third service. She lives in South Knoxville, about 10 minutes from church. If you are a couple that could pick somebody up and you live in South Knoxville, or you're another lady, I wouldn't want a man obviously going to pick her up, so make her feel uncomfortable. But if you're a lady and you can pick somebody up, or you're a couple and pick somebody up, she needs a ride, call the church office. We'll get you the info on how to get Heather here. And again, just a really needed and exciting ministry to get people here. If you want to be able to do that, let us know. So Those are the announcements. Why don't we stand up and say hello? Greet somebody and say that you love them. Say hello to the body of Christ. I will mention one other thing. As we have everybody here, and it's good to get everybody praying, be praying about, again, because of the church growing as quickly as it is, we have a lot of needs. And so be praying about wisdom. We're going to be trying to build a new storage building somewhere here on the ground soon. We're trying to possibly maybe do a picnic pavilion as well. So we have places for church picnics and gatherings and that kind of stuff. As well as even possibilities of just, you know, we have issues with, I guess the main thing I'd ask you to pray for is the parking and getting off the property. I know that after between second and third service, we're kind of getting a little bit of a line out front. And our issue is I'm going to be specific. We need another entrance and exit on the property. It's 43 acres. We have one entrance, one exit. We need another one. And we've kind of been denied that in the past. There isn't really a good place to put one that seems to be acceptable to anybody. But God knows what we need, and so I want you to just, in your prayer time, start asking God to give us another entrance and exit off the property. I think that would really solve all of our problems. Not all of them, but wouldn't that be great if you could solve all your problems? My marriage now is great. My kids are no longer rebelling. It solved all my problems. But it'll help with some of our issues and our problems here. So be praying specifically for God to give us favor, for some door to open up to be able to have another entrance and exit on the property. We know what, as far as the parking goes, we know it sometimes gets a little crowded. We're looking at that as well. So we're working on it. Again, we're kind of adjusting as you guys are with all the changes, but just be praying for us and pray for wisdom in that. And I know God will lead us. So great. If you have your Bibles, open them up to Psalm 67. We're going to do two Psalms tonight, Psalm 67, Psalm 68, and that's going to be it. We'll get through them. It won't take too long to cover them, and that'll give us plenty of time at the end to have a time of communion and a time of afterglow. And if you guys don't know what afterglow is, I'll explain that to you here in just a moment when we get there. And just basically seeking the Lord together and maybe some things to pray about. So, and matter of fact, I want to pray right now as we get started, just for tonight's teaching, but also I want to pray about this whole Equality Act thing going on in Washington. We certainly want there to be equality among all people, and we love all people, but some of the bills, oftentimes they have names that sound really, really good on the surface, but when you find out what they're doing, they're really, really bad. And it's not about not loving people or not wanting everyone to be equal. It's about really putting pressure on the church and on believers and bringing things to the church and our nation that would put us in a position of sin before God. So we want to pray for God to stop these type of things and to keep us in a place where we have freedom to worship and freedom to just to be able to stand where we do as believers and to love everyone for who they are before the Lord, but not to compromise the word of God or God's standard. So let's pray and ask God to bless that. And then we'll also pray for the teaching tonight. So, Father, we do want to thank you for tonight. And we do want to lift up, Lord, this some of these bills going on right now in our nation as we see our nation turning more and more away from you. Lord, we know that you love everyone. And you've put love in our heart, Lord, to love everyone. It doesn't matter what their background is. It doesn't matter, Lord, whether they're walking with you or whether they're living in sin. You love them. And, God, your mercy and forgiveness is for all mankind, regardless of their background or where they currently are. So that's not the issue at all. But Father, at the same time, we see that the enemy's trying to bring things upon our nation legally that would really put the church and believers in jeopardy, put our children in jeopardy, and really just be very detrimental to our nation, Lord, not to mention an insult before heaven. And so, Father, we ask for your mercy and grace that you would stop this particular act from passing, that you would intervene and move. And we pray, God, that you would protect us as a nation. Lord, we know that those who don't know you, they can't see. They don't know your righteousness. They don't even understand the Bible. Lord, oftentimes they don't even believe that it's your word because they don't know you. And so we understand that. But Lord, as those that have now had our eyes opened, and those of us that now know you, Lord, and recognize who you are and the requirements you have, Lord, to walk before you in purity, We pray, God, that you'd have mercy on us as a nation. Give our leaders wisdom. Give our leaders, Lord, a fear of God, even if they don't know you. And intervene for our sake, Lord, for your sake and for the church's sake and for righteousness' sake. And Father, I pray tonight as we get into your word, as we look now, Lord, at the teaching of your word here in Psalm 67 and Psalm 68, I pray, God, you would just open up your word to us. I pray, Lord, that it would just be a night of ministry by your spirit to our hearts. And Lord, we're ready to receive what you have for us tonight. And we thank you, Lord, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, again, Psalm 67 and Psalm 68 really are grouped together nicely in that they're both millennial kingdom psalms. That is, when we're reading in Psalm 67 and Psalm 68, these are snapshots of the millennial kingdom and what's going to be happening. And so remember, the millennial kingdom, millennial just means a thousand. It's the thousand-year reign of Christ. The Bible says that Jesus will rule and reign literally and physically on this earth for 1,000 years when he comes back after the second coming. He's not just coming back. He's coming back and he'll reign and be a king here on this earth for 1,000 years. That's called the millennial kingdom, okay? The word millennium, it comes from that. And these are now psalms that look into that time, that speak of that time, about his reign. You will be here during that reign. You will be a part of that reign. You'll be ruling and reigning with the Lord during that reign. And depending on your faithfulness to God, and how you serve the Lord will depend on your position in that millennial kingdom. That's just a reality. And so whether you're going to have a greater position or a lesser position, look, if you're like me, you're happy to be in. That's wonderful. I'm happy to be saved and get in the kingdom. But at the same time, isn't it great to know that if you're simply faithful, it's like any other job or that you do or any other thing that you do, although this is not works before the Lord. I don't want to give the wrong impression there. But anything you're faithful in when you're serving someone, you're going to be elevated in that position because of your faithfulness. And so that's what the Bible says will happen to each of us in this room. As we're faithful to the Lord, God will elevate us in the millennial kingdom. So you're going to be reading about it. We're going to be living. It's going to be an exciting day. I believe it's very near, and I can't wait till it comes. But this is where we take up in Psalm 67. It says, to the chief musician on stringed instruments, we might say guitars, a psalm, a song. God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah. Now remember, the idea behind Selah appears to be meditate on this. Think about this. Chew on this a little while. And isn't that a great thing to chew on? That the Lord wants to shine his face upon us. It's a picture in scripture of favor, of his love, of his grace, of his blessing, of his goodness. You know, you can tell when somebody's face is shining upon you. You know, when a kid and you're going to mom and dad and you know you've done something wrong, you can tell that face is not shining, right? But you can tell when there is a face that's shining and it's a blessing and it's pleasant. He says, Lord, cause your face to shine on us. Let us know that we're in your good favor. And how do we know that? By going through the cross and through the blood of Jesus. Because by his blood, we're forgiven, our sins are gone, and his favor is on us. And what a great thing just to chew on that and say, Lord, your face is shining upon me. What a blessing. And why does he want his face to shine on us, the psalmist that is? That your way or God's way may be known on the earth. Here we're talking about now when he comes to rule and reign. Your salvation among all nations. Imagine the Lord ruling and everybody knowing him, everybody loving him, everybody, well, not everybody be loving him, believe it or not. We'll get to more of that in just a moment. But everybody at the very beginning will be loving him and everyone will know him and his reign will be on the entire earth and his praises to all nations and all nations giving him praise or his blessing on all nations. And he says, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Wouldn't it be great when the whole earth is singing praise to the Lord? Think about that. Don't you love it when you go somewhere and you run into believers? During the millennial kingdom, everywhere you go, it's going to be all believers for the most part. There'll be some, and again, I'll explain that a little bit more in a moment if that stumbles you, but the majority of the earth will be filled with believers. And so everywhere you go, there'll be praise ringing out to the Lord, and the earth is going to spring to life because of this praise, and you're going to see the beauty of the earth and just the praises of the Lord. And, you know, we were talking this week about, you know, studies have shown, and Pastor Chuck used to talk about this. Studies have shown that when you speak to plants, and especially when plants are around things that are uplifting, I know it sounds crazy, but they literally can somehow hook up electrodes to plants, and the plants respond to that. Now, I'm not getting weird. It's not like, you know, the earth worship or worshiping plants, but plants God created, they are alive. They somehow connect to positive you know, if you speak to them in a positive way. And it's interesting, we've got these. I was just noting, you know, this the other day as to why and think, and I don't know this is the reason, but when I was studying the psalm here, it brought this to my attention again. We've got these Christmas cactus or whatever. What are they called, Christmas? Well, close enough. All right, so that just, anyway, and they're supposed to bloom only at Christmas, right? These things are blooming all year long. They're just blooming. They're beautiful, and they're a little less sometimes and a little bit more, and right now there are blooms on them right now. And they just kind of keep blooming. And they go, why in the world are these things blooming? And it's interesting because our house is oftentimes used for gatherings, and people are in there, you know, my daughter's in there practicing her guitar, we're playing worship music or whatever. And I'm not saying that's what it is, but it's almost like the worship atmosphere, the plants are thriving. I mean, there's something about worship that God has built into his system. The Bible says that God has given us a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. And so something in, if you have that spirit of heaviness, if you're prone to be an Eeyore, you know who you are, right? How you doing? Bad always. Okay. All right. You know that. A lot of that is a melancholy personality. You can take a melancholy personality and you can fill it with joy simply by adding worship on a daily basis. It just works. I'm telling you. I can be in the depths of despair, as the saying goes, and begin to worship the Lord. And after just a few worship songs, I still have the problem, right? I'm still down, but there's a joy. There's a lifting. And I believe that even as we respond to praise of the Lord, I think the actual plants around us, nature, life, and when the earth, can you imagine when the earth is praising and singing to the Lord, what's it going to look like? It's going to be beautiful. I think you're going to see everything responding, even in nature, to God and his glory. He says, let the peoples praise you and all the peoples praise you. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. Again, Selah. Just chew on that, you know. Meditate on the Lord governing everything. You know, you watch the news, get a little crazy sometimes when you watch how we're being governed or other nations are being governed or what's going on in the world. Well, never going to happen. When the Lord's here, it's always going to be wonderful how we're being governed. Every day is going to be, yes, yes, this is great. Every day is going to be better than the last. And so this is what we have to look forward to. So chew on that. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. See, there it is. Let everybody praise, and the earth will yield her increase. As we praise and worship the Lord, God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. All the ends of the earth shall fear him. So a beautiful psalm of what it's going to be like when the Lord comes back with the earth thriving and praise of the Lord worldwide, Psalm 67. And by the way, in your homes, I encourage you, you know, have some praise music from time to time. Maybe let it play in the background. You know, put up some scripture on the walls. Let God's word be there, you know, in certain places in the house just to see the word of God there. Because not only is that an encouragement to you, but it's an encouragement to people that visit. And if you have people there that don't know the Lord, they're reading the word of God while they're in your home. And it's kind of hard to attack somebody in their own home. I know that can happen, but it's just a blessing. And so let your house be filled with praise and blessing of the Lord. And again, we see it in Psalm 67, the whole earth responding to this praise of the Lord. I love it. Psalm 68, this is to the chief musician, a psalm of David, a song. Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. Ring any bells? This is what Moses would say each time that the cloud would move in the wilderness, when God would move and they would raise up the ark of God and get ready to follow God to wherever he was leading them to a new location. They would always say this, let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. You know, what a great proclamation. Let, you know, God lead the way, get all of our enemies out of the way. And so David now takes that and uses that at the beginning of this psalm, because what a great proclamation for God to arise and let his enemies be scattered. Again, that may be a good prayer for some of you tonight. Maybe you have enemies that need to be scattered, right? Go to God in prayer and say, God, arise and let my enemies be scattered. And just follow the cloud, enjoy the Lord and his goodness, and watch God work. He says, let those also who hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. Again, look how picturesque that is. You see the smoke, like a strong breeze just driving it away, you know. As wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. Again, in reference here, remember the setting, the millennial kingdom. As the Lord comes back, it says that the mountains will melt like wax as God comes to take his throne. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yes, let them rejoice exceedingly. And again, we don't always have rejoicing exceedingly in our heart. We know there's tough times, but God does give joy and he does give rejoicing. Learn to walk in that. Again, I think it comes from praise of the Lord and giving God that glory and all. Just this rejoicing begins to just exude out of us. And it's not just the joy you have, but it's the joy that it gives to others when they're around you. The Lord talks about God's Spirit bubbling up and pouring out. And when you're around a fountain that's bubbling up and pouring out, it's not just the fountain that's wet. You get wet if you're close enough to it. And that's how we should be as believers. We should be just bubbling the Spirit of the Lord and people around us enjoying that and being drawn in by that, having refreshment that we can give them as we're walking in that fullness of the Lord. And so, again, beautiful, picturesque language here that the psalmist, that David is using here. He says, sing to God, sing praises to his name, extol him who rides on the clouds. Again, picturesque of God. He went in the clouds, he's going to return on the clouds. And so this whole picturesque language truly of a cloud connected to the Lord. By his name, Yah, rejoice before him. So again, sing to him by his name, Yah, and rejoice before him. Again, we see Yah as a beginning to the name like Yahweh and Yehovah and that, and also God's name. You use it as a praise. And look how he describes the Lord here. A father to the fatherless and a defender of widows. What a great characteristic to have. If you don't have a dad, guess what you do? You do have a dad. You have the best father you could ever have. He is a father to the fatherless. And I've seen it over the years. I believe there's a special favor that God gives to those who don't have an earthly father. He becomes their father. And I've watched him work in special ways. It's a beautiful thing to watch. And a defender of widows. I've watched God do this as well. If you don't have a husband there to help you or whatever the case might be, and God says, I'm your husband. I'll be your husband. I'll be your defender. I'll be your father. And you're not going to get a better father and better husband than the Lord. It's not going to happen. He says, the father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy habitation. Here's another one I love. Look at this. God sets the solitary in families. I've also seen this. Over the years of ministry, you'll see a single here or a single there or somebody that doesn't have any family around. And I've watched God just have Christians come around them and take them in, and they just become part of the family. And you watch them, be a part of somebody's family. And maybe you've done that. Maybe they've been a part of your family, whatever the case might be. But God just takes us. I remember when I was in Nashville and I just gotten saved. I had no family in Nashville. I knew really, really no one. I lost all of my friends when I got saved because all of my friends were the party crowd. And I realized if I keep my friends, I'm going right back down the same path. So I literally had to just leave everybody. And it was, wow, I have no friends, but it was great. Because you're free from the things that pull you back into the world and you start over with a clean slate. And I can remember right off the bat getting involved in a fellowship, and God immediately brought these people into my life that took me in. And it was almost like every Sunday somebody was inviting me to their home for lunch or whatever the case might be. And all these families just surrounded me. And then I came across this scripture here that God says he puts the solitary in families. I'm living testimony. God puts the solitary in families. And some of you that have been there know exactly what I'm talking about, which, by the way, if you see someone in this body that seems solitary and God moves in your heart, be a family for them. Invite them over. Love them. Make a special place for them to come in. Maybe there's a Thanksgiving. Maybe there's a Christmas where they're all by themselves. Open up your home and be a family to them, because we are the family of the Lord, and God will move in your heart and you'll know when to do that. And I love it. He sets them in families. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity. So you're bound up maybe by debt or whatever thing you're in, and God brings you into prosperity. It doesn't have to be financial. It could be other ways that you're bound. Spiritual prosperity, if you're bound like in sin. He says, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. Oh God, when you went before your people, when you went out rather before your people, when you marched through the wilderness. Now again, we have that whole picture again being used of the wilderness here again when God brought them out of Egypt. He says, the earth shook. The heavens also dropped rain at the presence of God. Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. You, O God, sent a plentiful rain whereby you confirmed your inheritance when it was weary. I never thought about that until this psalm at this particular time. God, he says here, when they were going through the wilderness, there were times where God just sent rain. You think about being in the desert and there's never any rain and they're always looking for water. There were times where they were so weary and they were so thirsty and they were so dry, and all of a sudden God just sends a great rainstorm. Imagine how thankful they would have been. I was watching a video of some guys that they went over to Israel and they decided they want to walk the Jericho Road all the way up to Jerusalem. You know, the Lord talked about the Jericho Road, and it is desert. I mean, it is dry. It is, there's nothing there, or at least I thought there was nothing there. And I followed them on this journey. And of course, kind of a sped up version of them. It took them, I don't know how many days it took them to do it, but they got up through there, and right in the middle of the desert in nowhere, you know, and then they were just exhausted going, my goodness, we had no idea. At one point they were running out of water. They thought they had plenty of water with them. They said, we didn't know that it was going to be this hot, this dry, this, you know, whatever. And you'd find just in this beautiful pool of water. And watching them just jump in and rejoice and celebrate, you're thinking, man, how refreshing when you think you're, you know, you're really in need here and you're in, maybe in trouble, and this fresh water, that's what God does in our lives oftentimes. And some of you might be walking right now through a wilderness time. Look, I've been there. You know, you might be looking at me tonight, hey, he smiles a lot, he's happy. I'm having a great time tonight, all right? I'm just gonna admit that. It's just a great day in the Lord, all right? But the bottom line is, I have bad days. I have hard days. I've gone through dry times. We all go through dry times and have hard days. And if you're going through a hard wilderness time right now, the Lord sees it and he cares and he's doing a work in you. He will bring you to a fresh pool of water at the right moment. Tonight might be your splash. It just might be. And say, Lord, I need to splash really bad tonight. Not just a fresh drink from heaven, but I need to play a little bit in it. I need to have a little bit of fun. It's been really hard for the last few months, the last few years, the last few whatever. And I need some refreshment. We're going to pray that God's going to pour out that refreshment on you tonight. And again, it was interesting when by the time they were done, they were saying, you know, they were just exhausted. One of them was a very experienced hiker. And he was talking about just, I mean, this almost wiped him out. And then they stopped for a minute and said, you know what? The Lord did this three times a year with his disciples. And that was just from Jericho up. They had to first come down from Galilee to Jericho, then Jericho on up. It's like, oh my goodness, how in shape were these guys? But that's all they did. They walked everywhere, but wow. It gives you a perspective, but it shows you how important water is in the Middle East. And the whole imagery here of the fact that they'd be walking through the wilderness and a plentiful rain would come, it'd be celebrating. They'd be dancing outside in it, putting all the buckets out to catch the water and thanking God. And he says, I did that to confirm, he's saying, your inheritance. That is, you belong to me. And I think a great prayer for some of you tonight, if you're going through a dry time, Lord, confirm your inheritance tonight. I need a confirmation. I know that I know you, Lord, but I need you to confirm your inheritance, that I'm your child and that you'll pour out your blessing and your spirit on me, because I need a little bit of hope. I don't know about you guys, but if God will just give me ever so often, if it's a dry time, he just give me a couple of drops, I can keep going. Liel was talking the other day about one of these flowers we had in our house, plants, the ones that I've been telling you our plants are thriving. Well, this one wasn't. It was like laying over the sides. And so it looked just like dead, she said. Just everything drooped down and all this kind of thing. And she thought, well, it's pretty much gone, but I'm going to go ahead and give it some water just in case. Put some water on it. Woke up the next morning and it was like, boom, you know, like this. And she was like, wow, all it needed was a little drink. See, a lot of you are like that. And you're followers of the Lord. But right now, you know what you feel like? And I've been there. Here's what you feel like. You're like a wilty plant hanging over the side of the pot with your head on the counter. And you're looking around the other guy, and they're all laying there too. And you're thinking, I'm still got some green in me. I know the Lord, but I'm tired. And I just need refreshment. You don't have to muster up strength. You just have to say, Lord, rain. Rain on me, Lord. Pour down rain. And you know what'll happen? Boom! And what do? We begin to raise our hands and praise God. The plant comes alive. We'll pray for that later. We're going to pray for that. He says, your congregation dwelt in it. That is the wilderness and the plentiful rain you sent. You, O God, provided from your goodness for the poor. Interesting side note here, just to realize, really the poor is something that we as the church are to be providing for individually as well as the church. And we do that as God brings those needs to our attention. There seems to be a real cry today for, you know, those who are going to take care of the poor, and who's going to take care of the poor and this kind of thing. And I think a lot of people, stumble because they think the government is supposed to take care of the poor. Guys, the Bible didn't say the government is supposed to take care of the poor. That's false. There's nothing wrong if the government helps in some situations. But the Bible says the church is supposed to be taking care of the poor. We're the ones supposed to be doing it. So we shouldn't be looking for the government to take care of the poor. We need to be saying, God, what can we do as a church? What can we do as an individual? And God may challenge some of you guys tonight to say, you know what? You know somebody in need. Maybe you just kind of secretly bless them or whatever the case might be. But we're supposed to be the rain for them. We're supposed to be the ones that come and help the poor. That's what we're called to do, not the government. It's not the government's responsibility. It's ours. He says, the Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those who proclaimed it. Kings of armies flee. They flee. And she who remains at home divides the spoil. So he's showing you're having the kings of Israel having victory, God's people, and they're dividing the spoil at home. God is blessing so much. Though you lie down among the sheepfolds, you will be like the wings of a dove covered with silver and her feathers with yellow gold. You know, when you go to Israel, you see these doves in the stores. You know, they're covered with silver and you see these feathers with yellow gold on them and all. When I read this, I thought, I see that in the stores, in the souvenir shops and the place you buy stuff, no doubt coming from this psalm and other places. It just shows a picture of the blessing of the Lord. You know, beautiful wings covered in gold and all, just kind of this beautiful blessing of God on their life as God is blessing his people. When the Almighty scattered kings in it, it was as white as the snow in Zalmon. So again, just victory for God's people. He says, a mountain of God is the mountain of Bashan. A mountain of many peaks is the mountain of Bashan. Now, this is speaking of, what we call Mount Hermon, there in the northern part of Israel, and the other side of Mount Hermon going down to Syria. So these are the peaks of Bashan. You oftentimes read in scripture about Bashan and the mountains of Bashan. This is what he's talking about. He says it's a mountain with many peaks. It's a mountain of God. But notice what he says about it. It's not the same as God's main mountain. He says, why do you fume with envy, you mountains of many peaks? Now he's waxing eloquent here, okay? He's getting poetic, if you will, as if though Mount Hermon, the mountain there, is jealous of Mount Zion. And that's the point he's going to make. Mount Zion, that is the Temple Mount, God's place where he's going to have his throne. He's saying, you may be a beautiful mountain with all of your glory, and you may be a lot higher and more majestic right now than Mount Zion, but one day I'm going to bring all the mountains down. Mount Zion will be lifted up, and it'll be the mountain that I've chose to be my place and for my throne forever. But don't be jealous. He says, this is the mountain which God desires to dwell in. Yes, the Lord will dwell in it forever. And again, this is one of the reasons that you see so many people fighting over the land of Israel and over the Temple Mount area, because it is the land that God has chosen for himself. And I can say when you go there, there is something special about that land. It's not revived yet. It's not back to the way it's going to be. But it is, again, referred to as the city of the great king. And it's going to be amazing in God's glory and God's beauty. Oh, by the way, They've uncovered the actual Pilgrim's Road underground that comes down from the Pool of Siloam that everybody would go and do their ritual washing and then go up to offer there on all the feast days up to the Temple Mount. And as they're walking up the Pilgrim Road, they found some very, really cool things. Again, those of you that are going here in May, and I think it's looking like we may get to go, you're going to get to walk on this. You're going to see this. And you can go above, you can go below. We're going to get to go below. I think everything will be open by then. They actually found down in there a little bell that I was looking at the other day going up that Pilgrim Road. And it's a little bell that they now know was one of the bells that was actually on the high priest's garment. Is that amazing or what? Down in this underground passageway near the Temple Mount, the priest would wear these bells around their garment as they went in and would just, you know, again, to recognize that the high priest was coming and all this. They found one of those little bells and all kinds of other little surprises. They found these really special earrings that you ladies would like, and I'm really getting sidetracked. But again, it's God loves the land. It's a special place. It's got a special feel to it. And you're going to be there. Not just on the earth. I'm not talking about a trip now and all. That's great if you can go. But you're going to get to be there. And you're going to get to experience all of it. And you're going to live there. You'll live somewhere on the earth. But we'll all be visiting there and just enjoying it. And so when I read about this, I just get excited. These things pop in my brain. And stay focused, Mark. But it is a place where even the mountains are jealous. The whole land, the whole world is jealous of that land because it's set apart special for God. And the Lord, he says, will dwell in it forever. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of thousands. The Lord is among them as in Sinai, in the holy place. You have ascended on high. You have led captivity captive. Ring any bells? Again, Ephesians chapter 4, it says when Jesus descended to the heart of the earth, we'll be looking at this more on Easter when we celebrate the resurrection. We're going to look at what happened when the Lord descended to the heart of the earth. This year talks about it. It talks about it in Ephesians chapter 4. He went down to the center of the earth and led captivity captive. Again, the believers that were there. This again, we'll get into details of that later on when we get to here in a few weeks. But he says, you receive gifts among men, even from the rebellious, that the Lord might dwell there. And so Paul tells us in the New Testament that he gave gifts to men at this time as well, but also he received gifts from men, even from the rebellious. No doubt the Lord, when he got there, they were thanking him, they were praising him, and even those that weren't believers but could see what was going on were giving gifts in the sense of praise to the Lord. So again, a lot there. Don't have time to develop it, but a beautiful verse. He says, blessed be the Lord, I love this, who daily loads us with benefits. Daily. Guys, learn to see them. See, God, show me the benefits you're loading me with daily. Your word says that, and all I see is, you know, hard times or whatever. God daily loads us with benefits. I don't think we know what we have until it's gone. And when something's gone and you realize the benefits that we have, look at the benefits that we have, guys. We have tremendous benefits on a regular basis, our home, our family, what God, our vehicles, our life, our income, our ability to celebrate a sunny day, our ability to come and worship together still at this point freely is under the Lord. We're daily loaded with benefits. Thank him for it. Appreciate it. Let him know that you appreciate it. Don't just take it for granted, because he daily loads us with benefits. Soak it in. He's the God of our salvation. Our God is the God of salvation, and to God the Lord belong, and to God the Lord belong escapes from death. That is, not just even down here, but also eternally in heaven. But God will wound the head of his enemies, the hairy scalp of the one who goes on in his trespass. The Lord said, I will bring back from Bashan, I will bring them back from the depths of sea, the sea that your foot may crush them in blood, so giving victory over his enemies. And the tongues of even dogs may have their portion from your enemies. Kind of gross, but again, just showing the victory that he had, and that would happen. After a battle, the dogs and the wild animals would eat those that were slain in the fields. Now, can look at this picture of us when we're going to Jerusalem. Again, we talked about celebrating after the Lord comes back and the Feast of Tabernacles there in Jerusalem. This is kind of he's looking ahead to that and showing us what it's going to be like. They have seen your procession, O God, the procession of my God, my King in the sanctuary. The singers went before, the players on instruments followed after, and among them were the maidens playing timbrels. So there's going to be the worship band in the front, there'll be worship teams singing behind them, and there'll be maidens playing the tambourines going through the temple area and Jerusalem as where they're worshiping God in the millennial kingdom. Bless God and the congregation, the Lord from the fountain of Israel. Again, remember that spring that will spring up there next to the throne, the Bible says, when the Lord comes back, the fountain of Israel. I love the way the psalmist, it's like he's watching this in a vision. It's like, look, there's little Benjamin. I love it. There's little Benjamin, their leader. The princes of Judah and their company, the princes of Zebulun, the princes of Naphtali. It's almost like he's watching this in his mind. It's like a parade or something. Your God has commanded your strength. Strengthen, O God, what you have done for us. Because of your temple at Jerusalem, kings will bring presents to you. And the Bible says, kings of the nations, which will be us, will be bringing gifts to Jerusalem to give to the Lord. Isn't that amazing? Everything will be from him, but we'll be able to take it back to him and give it to him. What a great thing. Rebuke the beasts of the reeds, the herd of bulls with the calves of the people, till everyone submits himself with pieces of silver. Scatter the peoples who delight in war. There won't be any war during that time. Envoys will come out of Egypt. Ethiopia will quickly stretch out her hands to God. Sing to God, you kingdoms of the earth. They'll sing praise to the Lord, to him who rides on the heaven of heavens, which were of old. Indeed, he sends out his voice, a mighty voice. So what is the voice of the Lord going to be like? I can tell you it's going to be amazing. Ascribe strength to God. His excellence is over Israel, and his strength is in the clouds. Oh God, you are more awesome than your holy places. This is a verse I want to claim when we go to Israel and visit the holy sites, because oftentimes they treat the holy sites like they're more important than everything. No, he's more important than his holy places. They're only holy because he was there. They're only holy because he chose them. He is what's important, not the holy places. The God of Israel is he who gives strength and power to his people. Blessed be God. Isn't that great? Psalm 68. And I know I kind of went through the last part of it there quick because I sidetracked on all my little tangents there. And I wanted to kind of finish up so we have time to have a time of communion and whatever. So again, just Selah. Meditate on the word of God. Let it soak in and just enjoy it. And just again, let God minister to you from his word, however he wants to, and whatever he said to your heart tonight, just soak it in as we get prepared to have communion. So let's end with prayer. to end this portion, and we'll spend this last 30 minutes just seeking the Lord together in communion and worship and praise. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, again for your word tonight, for Psalm 67, Psalm 68. Lord, a glimpse into the millennial kingdom as the whole earth will be praising you and rejoicing. And, Lord, I pray tonight as we get into this time of communion, Lord, I pray that for those that are weary here tonight and they're going through a wilderness time, Lord, we've all been there. I pray that this would be the moment you bring them to a pool in the desert, a place of refreshment, a place, Lord, they can just fall down into laughing and splashing, enjoying the blessing of the Lord, that you might rain on your people tonight. Fresh blessings from heaven, a fresh move of your spirit, a word of encouragement, a spirit of encouragement, strength, Lord, a joy of the Lord, a rejoicing. And Lord, let your face shine upon your people tonight as we remember what you've done for us in your body and blood on the cross. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.